Please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And this week we come back to pick up at verse 16, and we're going to consider this passage in which Jesus calls unto himself his first disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Last week we saw that Jesus began his earthly ministry with the preaching of the gospel, and this morning we're going to consider some of the implications of what it means to live as citizens of Christ's kingdom. Let's go ahead and give our careful attention now to the reading of God's holy word. This is Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Hear the word of God. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Suppose this morning that a co-worker, friend, or family member came to you with that question. How would you answer them? Boys and girls, I want you to think about that question this morning. What does it mean to be a Christian? Pretend a friend of yours came to you and asked that very question. How would you answer them? What would you tell them? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, this morning in Mark's Gospel, we get a very clear and comprehensive answer to that question. Last week, we began with the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he announced that in him, the coming of God's kingdom came near. The king had come and he brought with him his kingdom. And most remarkably, we saw that Jesus proclaimed that anyone could become a citizen of that eternal kingdom by simply repenting and believing in the gospel. That's it. That is the gospel in a nutshell. What does it mean to become a member of Christ's kingdom, or how do you become a member of that kingdom? Well, you repent and you believe in the gospel. Well, this isn't where Mark's account of the gospel ends. Rather, he goes on, and as we continue in Mark's gospel, we're going to see now what are the implications of coming into Christ's kingdom. What happens when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God? How do the lives of men and women and even boys and girls change when they become citizens of Christ's eternal kingdom? Or we might simply ask, what does it mean to be a Christian? Now, for some of you this morning, you need to wrestle with this question because you are following Christ. You are a Christian and you need to wrestle with this question, however, because you need to refocus your life of following Christ. This call of Christ upon our lives is something that the Bible teaches us we are actually prone to forget. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews warns us about this specifically. He says that we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. If you have set out in your life to follow Jesus Christ, you still need to hear the call of Christ this morning so that you do not drift away from it. For others of you this morning, you need to wrestle with this question because you have not yet set out to follow after Jesus Christ. Maybe you have heard the call of Christ upon your life before, but you have not yet answered the call of Christ upon your life. Well, this morning you are going to hear just that. You are going to hear Christ's call upon your life. And you're going to hear what it means to respond to that call, even if you have not yet. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, if you're looking there at the outline on the back of your bulletin, you're going to see that it means at least three things that we see here in our text. The first is this: to be a Christian means to hear and to respond to the call of Christ upon your life. The second is that to be a Christian means to count the cost of following Christ. And then finally, to be a Christian means to live confidently in the promise of Christ. We're going to consider each of those. So let's begin with the first. Let's begin by considering Christ's call. Our text begins this morning with Jesus, and he's passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, and there he sees two brothers. He sees Simon and he sees Andrew, and these two brothers are busy with the work of their common vocation. These two are fishermen. And so we find them, and they're casting their net into the sea, and all of a sudden Jesus calls out to them, and you know his call because we read it already. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Well, from these words, you can see that the call of Christ has two parts. We're going to consider just the first part right now, and we'll come back to the second part later. So what is this call of Christ? Well, here's the first part. Christ calls you to himself as your new master. As Jesus walked alongside the sea, he called out to Simon and Andrew, and he simply said to them, "Follow me." This is a text in which Jesus is calling unto himself his first disciples. And what takes place here in our text is actually quite strange. And we see that revealed in two related contrasts. In Jesus' day, it was common for a teacher to have disciples. But the process by which someone became a disciple stands in contrast to what we read here. In Jesus' day, if you wanted to become a disciple, you went to a teacher and you made yourself his disciple. But you see that that doesn't take place here. No, here in our text, the reverse takes place. Simon and Andrew, they're not out seeking after Jesus that they might become his disciples. No, instead, Jesus initiates. He finds them. And he calls to them and he says, "Follow me." Jesus makes disciples. And so we see here that the discipleship that Jesus demands is unlike anything else in this world. Becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is a relationship that only Jesus can initiate. Now there's another contrast here in our text. When someone wanted to go and become a disciple, if they went to a rabbi and they made himself a disciple of that rabbi, the rabbi would immediately respond by saying something like, "Follow the law," or "Follow the Torah," or "Follow the traditions of the elders." But you see here in our text, that doesn't take place. No, you see the difference. Breaking with that pattern, Jesus says something else. He says, "Follow me." When Christ calls you to become his disciple, the call upon your life is to submit completely and entirely to him. Peter writes in his first epistle that Jesus has left us an example that we might follow in his footsteps. Christ's call upon every one of you this morning is that you carefully conform your life to his teaching and example. And this is always far more difficult than we might first imagine. Why is that? Well, because ever since the fall, each and every one of us, we were born with this dominating, innate demand to be the master of my own domain, to be the king of my own kingdom, to be the master of my own life. And it's because of this that you can see that the call of Christ upon our lives is completely radical. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means to hear this call of Christ, to submit entirely to Him as Master. It means giving up control in your life and letting the Word of God become the standard to which you conform your entire life. Think about Simon and Andrew and James and John. Everything for these men changed on this day in which Christ's call came into their lives. All of a sudden, they turn over everything to Jesus Christ. They turn over to Christ their time, their talents, their resources, their hearts, their minds, their bodies. They turn over absolutely everything to Jesus Christ. Well, the call of Christ has not changed. It is just as radical today as it was for Simon, Andrew, James, and John. That day began for those men without any expectation of hearing the call of Christ upon their lives, and maybe your day began the same. But here you are, in the providence of God, and you are hearing the call of Christ from the Word of God. And He says to you this morning, follow Me. And that is a call unto you to make Jesus the master of your entire life. The call of Christ has not changed. This is something of what it means to be a Christian. It means to hear and then to heed this call of Christ by faith. So I'm going to ask each and every one of you this morning, who is the king of your life? Who is it that determines how you live day to day? Who is it that commands your allegiance? Who is it that forms your affections? Who teaches you what and how to live? Who owns your heart? Who owns your mind? Who owns your whole life? Is it you? Or is it Christ? Unless you can say that Christ is your king, you are not a Christian. But today, right now, Jesus Christ, He is calling to you by way of His Word to follow Him completely. Now, if you are going to hear and heed that call of Christ, you need to understand something of the cost in following Christ. So let's consider that next. What is the cost of following Christ? In Luke 14, Jesus addressed these great crowds that were following after Him. And He pressed them to count the cost in following after Him. He said to them, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. These are some incredible words, are they not? Jesus says to follow after Him, it may cost you the most precious of relationships in life. Jesus goes on and He says further, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Following after Jesus Christ means that you are going to have to take up your own cross and you are going to have to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on and he tells these crowds very specifically that they must count the cost. He says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Do you have enough within yourself to follow after Jesus Christ? Are you going to set out and be able to follow him to complete that journey?" Jesus says it another way. He says, "Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able to meet him who comes after him?" Jesus doesn't mince words in terms of what it means to follow after him. There is a cost in following Christ, and he calls us to be sober-minded and to think about that cost and to count it. He says, "Therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Again, these are incredible words. These are the words of Jesus. If you don't renounce all that you have, you can't be his disciple. So have you counted the cost to follow Christ? Have you considered what it means to give up everything in order to follow him? Because this is the cost in following after Christ. Jesus is not simply something you add to your life. He is not a part of your life. He is not a component of your life. Now he calls to you when he says, "Follow me," to make him the master of your life. Now we see the cost of following Christ portrayed in our text in two ways. The first is that the cost or the call of following Christ is comprehensive. The call of Christ takes precedence over everything else in your life. Jesus' first call went out to Simon and Andrew, and the text tells us that they left their net behind and followed him. They left everything behind. Up until this point in their lives, for Simon and for Andrew, these nets were their livelihood, and they represented the means by which they gained everything else in life. But Christ called, and they left them behind. They counted the cost and followed him. Then in our text we read that the same call comes to James and to John. And they too, they left their nets behind, but you heard as we read, they left much more. They left their father behind. Boys and girls, James and John, they left their dad behind to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus was not kidding when he said that you must be ready to renounce all that you have in order to be his disciple. I want to be clear here. Following Christ does not necessarily mean that you will have to give up everything. But what it does mean is that you must be ready to. You must be ready to give up everything for Jesus Christ. In fact, it means living actively by transferring everything that you are and everything that you have and your entire life out of a domain that serves the self into the domain of Christ's eternal kingdom. That you and everything you own and all that you are now belongs to Jesus Christ. This means your time is his. This means that your energy is his. It means that the things that you love are shaped by him. It means that your devotion belongs to Him. Your priorities are set by Him. It means everything belongs now to Jesus Christ. So have you counted the cost? Well, second, we see that the call of Christ demands immediate obedience. The text tells us that when Jesus called Simon and Andrew, that they immediately left their nets. And immediately upon hearing the call of Christ, James and John, they did the same thing. Boys and girls, maybe you've had a conversation with your parents that went something like this. Maybe your parents sat you down at one point to talk to you about what obedience is, and they said something like, whenever I ask you to do something, or whenever I tell you to do something, I want you to do it the very first time. I don't want to have to repeat myself. I don't want to ask you two or three or four times. Instead, I want you to obey right away. Does that sound like a conversation you've had with your parents? Why is it that they have this conversation with you? Well, it's because they're trying to teach you something very important. And what is that? Well, they're trying to teach you that delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is actually disobedience. Now, if we just stop and think about it, this is something that we all understand intuitively. There really is no such thing as delayed obedience, because delayed obedience isn't obedience. It's disobedience. It's hearing a call and refusing to obey. Well, congregation, the same thing applies to you this morning. Christ's call upon your life right now is to follow Me. Follow Christ. Turn over everything to Him and follow Him immediately. Your congregation, please understand this morning that the Word of God, as the Word of God is coming to you today, you are not hearing the words of man. You are hearing the call of Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. And Christ's word to you today is not an invitation. It is not merely an opportunity. And it is certainly not the powerless pleading of a Christ that does not reign as King. He's not pleading with you to choose Him. No, Christ's word to you today is to count the cost to follow Him right now. Christ's call upon your life is not to take the afternoon and to consider His call upon your life. Christ's call upon you is right now, that you would hear Him by His word. And like James and John and Simon and Andrew, immediately, right now, turn over everything to Him. Some of you have heard this call of Christ maybe 1,000 times, but you haven't answered it yet. And maybe for some of you this morning, you are hearing this call of Christ in a certain way for the first time. Well, either way, the question for you remains the same. If you have not answered this call of Christ upon your life this morning, why not? What's standing in your way? He's calling to you, follow Me. What's getting in the way? Mark 10 records for us this incredible encounter with Jesus. There's a rich young man who he comes to Jesus and he asks a question. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And we would all agree that's a good question. It's good to be concerned, not just about this life, but about the life to come. That's a good question. And so Jesus answers him. He tells this rich man to keep the law. He focuses him to the second table of the law. He says, do not murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. And honor your father and your mother. somehow this man, he gets excited because somehow he thinks that he has kept the law completely. And so Jesus very graciously presses him with the law even further. And he says, you still lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. You hear? Give over everything to me. Do as I want you to do. He says, go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. You hear, the call is the same. And as we read there in the text in Mark 10, the text says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He couldn't hand over everything to Jesus Christ. So let's think about this together for a moment. This man was presented with the cost of following after Christ. And clearly Jesus said to him, you need to be ready to give up everything in order to follow me. And the man clearly understood what the call of Christ was upon his life. He knew what the cost would be. He looked upon it and he said, I can't pay that. You're asking too much of me. I can't give up everything. I can't give up my riches. I can't give up my comfortable life and follow you. But what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, to be a Christian means to count that cost and to follow after Christ. A Christian knows that following Christ may very well cost him absolutely everything. But he sets out anyway by faith. Is there something standing in your way this morning? Maybe it's simply that innate desire to be the master of your own domain. If that's what's standing in the way, I understand. Because Christ's call is comprehensive. He is calling you to give over everything in your life to Him. And it's hard to imagine doing that right now. To give Him everything. Is there something standing in your way? If there is, I need you to stick with me. Because we're not done. In fact, we must go on to consider this third aspect of the text because it is absolutely crucial. If we were to pause here, I have not preached to you the gospel. If we miss this part of the text, we misunderstand the call of Christ in the power of the gospel. So let's go on now to consider the confidence. And more specifically, I want to consider your confidence. I told you earlier that there are two parts of Christ's call upon your life. The first is to submit to Him as the master of your life, to give over everything to Him. Well, the second part is now to live for a new mission. Not only do you give over everything to Jesus Christ, you now embrace a life of living for Christ. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Think about it. Up until this point in Simon and Andrew and James and John, in each of their lives, they were missionless men. They were simply trying to carve out for themselves a nice little existence. They were just trying to be happy. But then Christ's call came upon their lives and absolutely everything changed. And this is what Jesus was getting at when he was careful to have this play on words. Before, their lives were marked by being fishermen. But now, in following after Jesus Christ, their lives are going to be marked by a new mission. They're going to become fishers of men. What does that mean? Well, it means that all of their gifts, their talents, their skills, their knowledge, all of these things that they once employed to catch fish will now be employed to catch men for Christ. No longer would they catch fish to preserve life on earth. Instead, these men are going to now catch souls in order to save lives for the world to come. Instead of using their gifts and talents and abilities, their day-to-day lives to build a temporary kingdom, these men would now use all of those things to build an eternal one. So this is Christ's call upon each of our lives this morning. It is to turn over absolutely everything to Him, to submit to Him as the master of everything in my life, and it is to now set out in a mission of following after Jesus Christ in seeking first His kingdom. And when you put those two things together, it might seem like this is too much. Christ is demanding of us something that we do not have within ourselves. How do I submit everything to Jesus Christ? He might actually take it all away. How do I actually dedicate my entire life to seeking first Christ's kingdom? Do you know how much of my life might actually have to change to live that way? That's actually the point. And that brings us to this third point. When you, by faith, follow after Jesus Christ, hear this carefully, He fits you for service in His kingdom. He does it. Look again at your text. I want you to see it in the Word of God. Don't miss His promise. Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you become what you are not right now. I will do it. I will make you become fishers of men." This is a promise from Jesus Christ, and this is Christ's promise to you this morning. What confidence could you possibly have in answering the call of Christ upon your life this morning? Well, don't look within to find that confidence. Look to the One who is calling out to you, because that is where the confidence is found. Christ's promise is what gives life. Confidence, hope, and assurance are all found not in yourself, but in the promise of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it must have been like that day for Simon and Andrew and James and John? These four men are simply going about daily life, and they're expecting life to go on just as it always has. They don't expect anything but the ordinary. And Jesus shows up, and with all of the authority of a king, He calls out to them and He says, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." The call came, but the call came with a promise. And it is the promise that makes all of the difference. Listen, if the call of Christ is simply, "Follow me, give me everything, live for my new mission," I'm not sure I can do it. Actually, I am sure I cannot do it. But that's not all of the call. The call comes with a promise. It's, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." You are called to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. But if you will set out after Christ by faith, He will do it. So I return to the question I've asked a number of times. Is there something standing in the way? Does it seem impossible to hand over everything to Jesus Christ? Does it seem far to beyond your ability to live entirely for Him? Well, if it does, as it should, you need to understand that salvation belongs to the Lord. It is His work from beginning to end. You can hear a call that is far beyond your abilities, and you can immediately hand over everything to Jesus Christ, and you can set out after Him by faith. Because this is what it means to be a Christian. It means following after Christ on the basis and assurance of His unbreakable promise. He is faithful. He will do it. You might be sitting here this morning and you might be thinking to yourself, all of this seems quite abrupt. Maybe you weren't expecting to come to worship this morning and to hear the call of Jesus Christ the King upon your life. You weren't expecting to hear this call to turn over everything to Him and to live each and every moment of your life for Him. And again, maybe that makes you say, I need some time to think about it. Maybe you feel like you should give it some careful thought before you set out and follow Him. Well, if you're there this morning, I want you to just simply think about the text again. Christ's call came upon Andrew and Simon, James and John in a way that seemed very abrupt. If all we had was Mark's gospel, it would seem as though this was their first encounter with Jesus Christ, but we actually know it's not. According to John's gospel, about a year earlier, at least Andrew and most likely John, they were present there when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So these men had at least some experience with Christ, but even if they had that experience with Jesus Christ, they were not expecting what took place here. They expected to wake up as fishermen and to go to bed as fishermen. And so the call of Christ came into their lives quite abruptly. And frankly, this is how the call of Christ comes into our lives. For some, it actually comes quite abruptly. I have a friend who was living quite far from God, and he was out at the construction site one day when a coworker came and shared Christ. He hadn't heard of Christ, but the coworker came and shared Christ with him, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, the call came, and he was powerfully converted that day. But for others, the call of Christ comes abruptly, but it only seems to come abruptly. I have another friend who was raised in the church, and he must have heard the call of Christ 1,000 times in his life. But one day, that call of Christ came, and it didn't simply fall upon his ears. This time, it laid a hold of his heart. And though he had heard the gospel 1,000 times before, that time it was different. And he was powerfully converted that day. The call of Christ comes quite abruptly. For Simon, Andrew, James, and John, it seemed to come out of the blue. And maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're thinking the very same thing. Perhaps today is the day in which the call of Christ won't simply fall upon your ears, but it will lay a hold of your heart. You've heard the call. Jesus says to you by His Word, "Follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men." It is a call to submit everything to Jesus Christ and let Him be the master of your entire life. It is a call to live for a new mission. It is a call to no longer seek to build your own kingdom, but to seek first the kingdom of God. It is a call to live far beyond anything that you are capable of in and of yourself. But it's a call that comes with a promise. And I will make you become fishers of men. It is a call that comes to you this morning based upon the sufficiency and capabilities, not of yourself, but of God Himself. So will you count the cost? It's costly. It'll cost you everything. When that rich man walked away from Jesus, he did so because he found the cost to be too much. Jesus' disciples, they watched that encounter between Jesus and the rich young man, and they marveled at how hard it is for anyone to give over everything to Jesus Christ and to live for Him. And so they asked the question, then, who can be saved? Jesus answered them and He said, with man, it is impossible. It is. None of us, not you, not me, none of us are sufficient in ourselves to hear and to answer that call. But Jesus said, but not with God. And there again we hear the promise. Peter went on and he talked about the cost of following Christ. He said, look, Jesus, we have left everything and we have followed You. And Jesus adds His promise. He says, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for My sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold in this life houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. So is there something standing in the way this morning? Or will you hear the call of Christ upon your life? Will you heed it? Will you answer the call of Christ? Will you submit to Him everything? Will you determine to spend all of your life seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not based upon your own abilities, but instead based upon the promise of Christ. Here again, the call of Christ, this time from Mark 8. Jesus says, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? Let us follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to You after hearing the call of Christ upon our lives, and it is a call that when we hear it, we shrink back by nature. We shrink back because we see that we, in and of ourselves, cannot simply give over everything to You. We cannot simply commit to spending our lives each and every day seeking first Your kingdom because we don't have it in ourselves, the power to do it. And yet we are thankful that this call of Christ upon our lives is not something that we are called to answer in our own strength. But rather we are called to answer this call by faith, confidence, in the promise of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Father, that this morning for any who have already set out after Jesus Christ and for any who have not yet set out after Jesus Christ, that all of us might hear the call of Jesus Christ and that we might answer that call by faith, confident in the promise of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, will you make us become fishers of men? Will you make us those who have left behind everything that we have simply tried to carve out for ourselves and instead dedicate everything to you, even our own lives, day to day, that we might seek first your kingdom? Will you please do in us what we are not able to do ourselves? Will you take these lives of ours and cause them in the power of the Holy Spirit to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to be used for the advancement of your kingdom? When we pause and we think about what that might mean, we ask the question that the Apostle Paul asked: who is sufficient for these things? We know the answer is none of us. We also know the answer is Christ. Will you give to us Him, that He would powerfully live in each of us by His Spirit, so that we might follow Him, so that we might give glory to Christ each and every day by faith. Pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.